You're, I'm LJ.
What's cracking, y'all? It's Stevie Nicks.
And we're Knicks fans.
And welcome to Knicks Anonymous.
Myself, and I think we see Willis coming out.
Fast break to Walt Frazier. Frazier then slows it down. It's picked up by Jerry West at the top of the post. Three.
The New York Knicks.
Here's David Stern
for
with the announcer.
First pick, select Patrick Ewing.
Bernard looking for 50, and he's got it. Back to back 50 point games for Bernard King.
Anthony for three.
Johnson cuts left, now fires a three,
it is good, and he's fouled, it counts, and he is fouled.
Barrett drives down, this time finishes with a third.
Year, what is going on, New York? Welcome back to another episode of
Knicks Anonymous.
There we go. The sound effects are finally working.
Episode 56.
57.
I thought it was 56.
I think it's 57.
Uh-oh.
I'm almost positive it's 57. It is 57.
Okay. Episode 57. My bad, y'all.
It's all good, man. We're all human. People make mistakes. It is all good.
Especially
just
the
like
Knicks.
You
make
a lot
of mistakes.
Knicks knock on wood, my boy. Here we go. Get the class for that one. Maybe we are a mistake.
Well,
maybe stop.
Maybe our off-season signings were mistakes.
Maybe the Knicks as a general are just a mistake. Maybe this is not even real. Maybe we're like in a multiverse.
So we're the abortion that got away?
Pretty much. Because let me tell you something. Before we even get into the actual show, let's get into the most important part of the show.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family.
Yes, sir. And also... Okay, I had to wait for the explosion on that one.
That's a fact.
Also, follow us on Instagram at Knicks Anonymous, and you could also find us at other platforms such as Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Breaker. And if all else fails, Google us, and we're easy to find. Knicks Anonymous, holla at your boy.
Yeah! Should have done that.
Yeah, we could have had the sound effect for that.
Flavor Flank. Which I know about the MTV life.
Yeah, I want my MTV. That's like my time, but when I was a baby, I want my MTV. Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah, I bet it was. I know
that was a thing.
I should have grew up in those times.
In the early '80s, I want my MTV.
I should have grew up in those times. Instead, I'm here with COVID.
I'm here with COVID too, and I didn't grow up in this time. I did. I grew in this time, I guess. Anyway, whatever.
It'd be like that, man. Anyway, yo, let's... Thank you for that, Steven.
Okay,
per usual. You already know how we do this, man. Today, we're going to do a Straight Talk episode. No segments. For those of you that don't know, Straight Talk is pretty much... like I said, no segments. We're just going to go straight through the games. Any opinions that fly off the dome. It's pretty much straight freestyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Being that it's...
What
is it? 5 more days?
To what, the deadline?
Yeah.
It's starting to get chippy, let me tell you. It's starting to get a little bit more, the sea's getting rocky.
Yeah, man, I just got a blast on my phone that I don't know if the Knicks have anything to do with this, but the Pistons are interested in Mitchell Robinson, apparently.
I mean, shit, who wouldn't be interested in Mitchell Robinson right now?
Yeah, they want to pair him with Cade.
Ooh.
That would actually be an interesting pairing. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Too bad it won't happen, yes.
Hopefully it doesn't, because I don't think
we would want anybody in return.
Maybe Sadiq Bey or Jeremy Grant, but...
Nah.
Yeah. Nah, I would take Sadiq Bey.
Yeah?
Yeah. If they're giving us, like, a prospect for a prospect, I would take on Sadiq Bey, and he's a wing. But I think it's fake news. I think the Knicks have no interest in training Mitchell Robinson.
I don't see it. I don't think they should.
I don't either. I'm just saying if it's true, those are who I would go for. But
I'm actually siding with Eddie now, pretty much. Because so, Miles Turner still isn't back from that injury.
So Mitch won the Miles Turner challenge?
Yeah, for those of you that don't
know. By default.
Yeah, like 5 episodes ago, we did...
It wasn't that long ago.
Was it?
I think it was like maybe 3, 2 or 3 episodes
3?
Ago.
So yeah, about some time ago, we made a... Me and my good man Steven over here and It wasn't a bet.
You had a bet with my brother.
With your brother. That who would fit more? Would it be Miles Turner or Mitchell Robinson.
And they based that bet based on a 10-game stretch of games.
Here it is, episode 54. The title is literally called Miles Turner versus Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, they were basing it on like a 10-game stretch. Unfortunately, Miles Turner hasn't played, so Mitch wins by default.
Yes. And it's fine because not only Mitch is winning, he's actually exceeding expectations right now.
He ruined
now.
My parlay yesterday, bro. I had him scoring over 7 points. But then again, he didn't ruin it. He helped. Russell Westbrook ruined it more.
Yeah, he's garbage, man.
Yeah, what happened to that guy, bro? See, you know what's crazy about Russell Westbrook? You know what's crazy about him? When KD left, people bugged out when I said he left because of Russ. Because everybody ran with the whole notion. I know this isn't Knicks related, but I had to take it back since we're talking about Russ. Everybody was running with the notion that KD was a bitch. Because he pretty much went to the team that beat him.
Which he is. He could have joined any other team. Let's be real.
I mean,
I still think him leaving was because of Russ.
I do. I said that from day one. And people said I was bugging.
I just think he could have went to a better team.
And the funny thing is, every year that has passed since then, it shows he left because of Russ. Call his move a bitch move, whatever. I personally, bro, like, yeah, you can call it a bitch move. But if you want to call that a bitch move.
He made a business decision at the end of the day, pretty much.
Yeah, all right. I've heard that before. He made a business decision. I don't want to name names, but we've heard that before. So if that rocks for him.
LBJ?
I didn't say it. He did. But if it rocks for him, why doesn't it rock for him? You know? The double standards in America are kind of crazy these days.
So you're pretty much saying LeBron should also be a bitch?
He is.
Okay.
There's no supposed to.
Let's be real here.
If one's a bitch, the other's a bitch. See, here's my logic on things. Just because somebody does a bitchier move than another bitch doesn't make the other bitch less of a bitch. You're still a bitch.
Still a bunch of bitches.
You're still a bitch. It's just the other dude's a bigger bitch. You don't lose your bitchhood.
That bitch card is still there.
Yeah, you're still there, buddy. That's what people thought when KD did that. Like, yeah, this clears up LeBron. Nah, bro, it doesn't. He started it.
Bing, he started it. Bing bong.
He started. Well, let me not say he started it. Because, you know, there have been super teams before, but no super team has ever plotted in the offseason to join each other the season before in the Olympics. Let's get that straight. But anyway, this is a Knicks podcast, so let's get into the Knicks.
And LeBron is still doing it to this day.
Yes. But anyway, let's get into the Knicks.
Let's get into the Knicks, man. So it started off right. First game we played was against the Kings. We got that W. Overall,
That was the Burks and Fournier show. They each netted 4 threes.
Yeah, that was a pretty dominant performance, if you ask me, to be honest.
I was disappointed that De'Aaron Fox didn't play because, you know, it was this day that rumors were rampant and this was supposedly the quote-unquote audition game for both teams where one team was watching one guy and the other team was watching the other guy. Yeah. Unfortunately, one guy didn't play.
Yeah.
But that's cool. We won. That's what's important.
We did win. Our three-point shooting... 37%. Field goal percentage, 50%. Rebounds, 47. Assists, 25.
Dare I say, if you shoot 50% and 37 from three, you have a great chance of winning games.
You have a very good chance of winning games.
You have a really good chance of winning.
So would you... Okay, so for people that don't really know percentage like that, because I kind of freaked out too when I saw the 37%, what would you say is, like, bad? Is it anything lower than 35?
You know what? Since you asked that, I'm going to have to dig up the all-time stats of all-time three-point shooters.
Because 37%, they shot 13 of 35. It doesn't sound that good.
Well, remember, with three-point percentage, it's a lower percentage shot than a closer shot. So a dude who hits 44 to 45% of his threes is going to be considered a real good shooter.
Yeah. Because it's already a low percentage shot.
Exactly. Whereas if you're a dude who plays on the inside and shoots 44%, that's not good.
Yeah, because you're right there.
Exactly. Like if Shaq shot 44% of his career or Patrick Ewing or any of those 90s centers in the golden age of centers shot below 45%, that's terrible.
They wouldn't be considered the great.
Yes. I mean, you'd probably be considered great, but you'd be low. Your field goal percentage wouldn't be cool.
Yeah,
especially
okay,
a big man.
Okay, so that's good clarification. Okay, so... So for those out there, because sometimes Knicks fans, they look at the number and it looks bad. It looks worse than what it actually is. So it's good to clarify these things. Because I even panicked a little bit. I saw 37%. I was like, whoa. Like, whoa there. But actually, that's actually pretty good, judging by what we've been going through so far.
Well, check it out. Just for context. The all-time leader in three-point percentage is... Let me see. Steph Curry.
He is the greatest shooter.
Yeah.
He is. And guess who he did it against?
Us.
Yeah. How could we forget?
Actually, no, I'm sorry. My bad. My mistake. Greatest percentage is still Steve Kerr at 45%.
Ah.
Steph Curry's 10th. You know what's crazy? Seth Curry has a higher percentage than Steph Curry. All time.
I think Seth just chucks up more shots. That's why.
Seth Curry's ranked 4th all time at 43%. All right, so for context, since you asked, like, look, the highest percentage of all time is 45%. And I just said a 44% shooter is considered a great shooter. So look at that. 45% is the greatest shooter, at least percentage-wise.
And he averaged that, like, for his career?
Yeah.
Ooh, Steve Kerr is a monster.
Yeah. The top 50, number 50 is 40%. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people are tied for it. It's Danny Green, Davis Bertans from the Wizards. He's still playing. Ray Allen, Glenn Rice, and still active, Buddy Hield.
Wow.
So, yeah, bro.
So, Buddy Hield, wow.
So, for context, yeah, 37% isn't bad.
We held Buddy Hield to low points against the Kings. Because Kings, he's actually been going through some shit, I heard.
Ooh, Buddy?
Yeah, he's had a rough, like, 6 games. Before he played us. So I wonder if he's still on that bad streak.
Well, Buddy's streaky. I've always said that. I'm a big fan of Buddy Hield myself. But, you know, he's a streaky shooter. Like, when he's on, he's on. It is a beautiful thing to watch.
He had 11 points. Shot 4 of 13 from the field and 3 of 12 from 3.
Wow. He held him down.
That's terrible. That's good for us. It's really bad for him.
We held Haliburton down, too.
He actually had 21 points, not for nothing. I think he was their leading scorer.
Yeah, he was. But he was 7 of 16. 43% still good.
No, yeah, this was a good... This was a game that... These are like those games that these are must wins, I think, in my opinion.
Like, you're supposed to win this game.
Because they had a, you know, hurt roster. You know, we got to take advantage of... Because our schedule from here, like, from here on out, we're gonna need every W we can get.
Yeah.
You feel me?
We can't have afford to lose this one. Yeah. Especially considering we lost the next two.
Yeah, especially what happens, you know, what's coming next. So this was an overall good, dominant performance defensively, offensively. Any tweaks?
As far as what?
Like any, I don't know, because honestly, they played their role. I can't even talk shit about this game. This was a fun game to watch as a Knicks fan, honestly. Yeah. The ball was, look at this stat. We got 9. Okay, besides Walker, we're going to completely forget about that he had a scoreless game. we're going to X that out of our heads.
Okay.
I think this is our, this was the first time. I think he did it again against the Grizzlies. I'm not sure. But I know he went scoreless twice. But goddamn, bro, you only shot 2 shots.
Yeah. And RJ Barrett only had 11 points, surprisingly.
No, but here's the point.
No, I just want to throw it out there. I'm just looking at it. And we won.
So here's the stat line. We're going to go down. We got 9, 11, 18, 17, 21, 14, 2, 14, 6, and 4.
And 0.
And Kemba Walker. Yeah, Kemba, yeah. I went over it, but 0. So pretty much what you see here is the ball was definitely moving around the court.
Yeah.
Everybody is getting involved. And everyone says that the Knicks aren't up to the task, and I don't believe that to an extent. They're a great team when things are coming together.
Yes, agreed.
The problem is the chemistry and the consistency. You know, I guess that plays a role in it, but if you really look at it, if the Knicks really could build that consistency, and you know, maybe if we give them more time, because again, this is their first year playing with each other. So, what's to say? Because you can't lie. When Fournier's going off 30 points and Alec Burks is going off 24, we, like you said, we win games. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, we win a lot of games when Fournier scores over 15. I forgot that record. There's a stat. Like, we're pretty much almost I won't say we're undefeated. I have to look that up. They said it in the game.
But we're probably positive.
Yes. I think we're like, I don't remember the record, bro, but we're winners when Evan Fournier has a good game, yes, offensively.
So to say the Knicks, you know, you get what I'm trying to say here, right? Like, to say the Knicks are, no offense, but trash is the Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons, all right? They have 9-10 wins under their belts. They are a team that are literally still trying to figure out where they fit in the league. That's what you would define trash. We are just struggling.
Yeah, I agree.
We're just a struggle. We're not bad. You can't, there's no way you could look on the court and see and tell me who was a terrible player on the court. You can't look me in my face and say RJ Barrett's a bad player. Kemba Walker's a bad player. These guys aren't bad players. They're just struggling trying to fit with one another. Because you can't lie. When they all click, it's a W.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know what it is that the guys we signed in the offseason, Kemba and Fournier, they're not bad players. When they're on, and it's proven that, as I said, when both are on, we're winners. It's just the inconsistency, as I said, from day one.
Yes.
It's the inconsistency. It's the lack of execution. In some cases, body language for certain people. We won't single none out, but we all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I actually want to talk about that too, a little bit.
We're going to get to that.
I'm glad you actually brought that up.
We're going to get to Randle because I
almost forgot about that.
We're going to get to Randle, and it's not going to badmouth him because I kind of think we were being a little
Wait, don't even say nothing yet.
All right.
Just continue.
But yeah, it's the lack of pretty much what I've been saying the whole season. The lack of consistency, chemistry, execution. It's mostly on the offense. Yeah, we have our defensive lapses. Because for some reason, we like to leave power forwards open. Again, not singling anybody out. Switch open threes.
You kind of went a little specific there, though.
He's not the only one, though, that does that for the power forwards. Some of us don't run around our picks properly.
Okay.
So that's not all on him.
So no names.
No, we all know who I'm talking about. We're fans. If you're a fan of the Knicks, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But I'm not trying to single him out.
3-0.
Because we all know he's a problem, but he's not the only problem. I don't want to be that guy. But yeah, it's mostly our offense this season. Yes, there's been defensive lapses, but statistically speaking, our defense is still a winnable winning defense. And I said winnable winning on purpose because they're that good.
And here's the thing. You ready for this one? That most Knicks fans probably... I told my dad this and he was like, what?
He disagreed?
You ready for this one?
He disagreed?
No. He was just shocked. You want to know why? I told him we're fourth in the league in defense, though, with points.
That's what I'm telling you.
We are fourth. I told him. He was going off on me. He was like, oh, the Knicks this, that, there. I'm like, yo, dad, breathe. The Knicks. Because everyone is mad. Because right now, I feel like the finger is being... Right now, we're playing the finger game. We're not really sure who to blame. I'm going to say his name because there's no point.
Okay, now we're going to say
his
name because we're going to talk about him now.
Now we're going to say his name. So I feel like all the fingers are being pointed towards Randle. And not only is it being pointed towards Randle, but it's also being pointed toward Tibbs. Now the point I want to make, because there's a lot around Tibbs, but the point that I'm trying to make here is that pretty much that Tibbs, he's weird. So
his problem is the rotation.
Yeah.
It's still the rotation.
Yeah.
Or the lack thereof.
Thank you for saving me. I kind of brain farted. Like,
it's okay.
Go on. I'm gonna remember.
It's the rotation and the lack thereof. And I'll give you an example. Like yesterday's game against the Lakers. I'm trying to get the box score up for the minutes, y'all. I apologize. Just bear with me for a second. Dude, Grimes, 14 minutes. Toppin, 11 minutes. Quickly, 4 minutes. Why?
Now I remember.
Why?
I remember, Steven.
Dude, like, and I was talking with my brother about this, I think, this morning. Because I had missed the old... let me tell y'all what happened to me yesterday. I'll be real honest. I was at a baby shower. Shout out to my man Joe, by the way. I was at my man Joe's baby shower, so I didn't have access to the game.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, Joe. So I had to watch the game on my phone. You know, I'm enjoying myself at the shower, having drinks, eating, watching the game.
Did you win the raffle?
Unfortunately, no. I lost the bottle raffle. Yeah, they had a raffle for Bel Air, a couple bottles of Bel Air. I lost.
Yeah. Who won?
One of the baby mom's cousins, I think. Two of her cousins, actually. I'm sorry. Congratulations to them, by the way. They got awesome. The bottle I wanted. Claps. But anyway, give them the claps.
Give them the claps? All right. Move your mic away from your mouth a little bit.
My bad. Facts. Okay, but anyway, so I'm watching the game. We were doing good first half. Second half, we already know what happened in the third quarter. We blew it. Fourth quarter, the game cut off at the point where Evan Fournier did the stupid foul. So my phone died. I did not know the game. I thought the game was over at that point. Lucky for me, I did something smart and recorded the game on Fubo on my phone. I didn't know the game went into overtime until I woke up in the morning. Luckily, something told me to record the game, and that is why. As soon as I saw what happened, I saw the highlight of RJ tied the game. I was like, okay, good thing I recorded this. I watched the overtime. Why did we get so cold? And the funny thing was the Lakers were cold too. We could have won this game.
Here's the thing.
We could have won this game, bro. I'm sorry. Before you get into it, bro, like this was I can look past the blown 20-point lead because like you said, for some reason I saw that coming.
Yeah, of course we did.
But that was a winnable game, bro. Russell Westbrook 5 points?
1 of 10.
5 points? He caused me to parlay because I thought he was gonna kill us.
And LeBron didn't even kill us.
No, he did. He had a triple-double, but that was towards the end. We lost the game because of Malik Monk and them two stupid plays from Evan Fournier, which I'll let you get into. I already said one.
No.
I already said one. The one that he did the stupid foul.
Okay, so, boom. Pretty much, Evan Fournier, it was a jump ball. It was a jump ball, and it hit off. I'm pretty sure it didn't even hit off RJ, because RJ was actually the underdog in that jump ball. For some odd reason, Evan Fournier goes to run out and get it, and saves it towards the
guess who he saved it right to? Out of all people, guess who he saved it to?
He threw it right to LeBron James. And mind you, we were tied. And right when he dunked that ball, I immediately knew
it was over.
That was the game. Because everything that killed, I felt it. It killed everything. It killed all the mojo, the momentum. It killed everything. It was so dumb. It was the dumbest thing anybody could have done. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Bro, I was watching it this morning. And you know what was crazy? A little after that.
I wonder if he said anything about it.
A little after that, in defensive Randle, he got an and one that kind of sort of shifted the momentum back to us. But then we couldn't score again.
Okay, so hold on. Let me bring something up real quick. Because I actually remember what I was going to say earlier.
Go ahead, shoot.
So pretty much what I was going to say between Thibodeau and Randle is that, because I told my dad, because a lot of you probably don't even know that. We are fourth in the league in defense still. Our defense is still top tier. It is our offense that is our problem.
Yes.
There is a lot of times that we get stops, defensive stops, like 5 times over and over again and only score
and don't
once.
Score.
Either don't score or score once. You know what I mean? And then we let them go on a run. So, you know, we cannot play ball like that. So I don't think we should blame Tibbs for that because we all know what Tibbs is. He's a defensive juggernaut. I think within either the offseason or whatever, we should start looking for some type of offensive coordinator to help him. I feel, because I don't think Tibbs is completely at fault.
Not at all.
He's doing.
Tibbs is a good coach.
He is, yeah, and yeah, that's another thing too, man. We New York, you gotta stop saying Tibbs is a bad coach, man. That is not a bad coach. Fizdale, that's a fucking bad coach.
Yeah, I need to.
And by the way, he was on the Lakers, that piece of shit.
Bro, I have to say this: those who say Tibbs is a bad coach, why do you want this coaching carousel to continue?
Who do you want? Tell me in the comments.
Exactly,
who do you
bro.
Want?
Why do you want? Remember, we talked about this. What was it last week when we went through the history? How many coaches we had?
Yeah, it was a couple episodes.
It was a
ago.
Lot.
Yeah.
No. Last week we talked about the record. It was a couple episodes ago. We talked about how many
coaches
we had.
Yeah.
Why would y'all want that to continue? That doesn't help. You haven't learned.
And y'all talk about chemistry.
Yeah.
That's gonna completely fuck up the chemistry.
Like, why would you want to put Tom Thibodeau on the hot seat? Yes, you can. As I said a few episodes ago as well, yes, you can critique the man. You can't deny he produces results and has produced results in the past. You got to give him time. We're still a rebuilding team.
Yes,
I understand. We're all disappointed and feel like this season is a bust.
So this is for you guys. I didn't even know we were fourth in the league in defense.
Mindfuck.
That's for you. Now, this leaks up to the Lakers game. Now we've got the bat out the way. Let's talk about how the fuck we started this game.
Bro, that ball was flowing crazy, bro.
Let me tell you something.
That, bro, before you get into it, ball movement was Golden State-esque.
Yeah.
Ball movement was Golden State-esque. That is how we're supposed to play. Ball movement.
I wish I had, like, the Halo theme song.
The ball movement.
But you
movement.
Know what? I got the link. So, level up. But let me tell you something. I don't know if we're going to get rid of Randle. I'm going to be completely honest with you, man. I do not know we're going to get rid of him. Because look it. This is what I saw from this game. I saw potential.
I did too as well.
I saw a big amount of potential. He seems like he's kind of waking up from whatever the fuck he was in or what he was doing. Because watching him play... And it's funny because this is completely after the blowout of the Grizzlies game. The Grizzlies game was completely disappointing.
We actually skipped that. We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
next.
We skipped it.
Oh, and I'm sorry, bro. By the way, we didn't say the final score to the Kings game. I apologize for that.
Oh, shit.
Final score. No, not yet. But I'm going to let you continue. I just want to get that out the way. The final score to the Kings game was 116-96. And the final score to the Lakers game versus us was 122-115 in overtime. I just wanted to get that out the way because we didn't mention it. My fault.
That's a fact. So, It's the way Randle was playing. It was the way Randle was supposed to be playing. You know what I mean? Yeah, he was on the perimeter, which I really do not like.
We all do. We all hate that.
I do not
at
like.
Times, at times, when he's hot, I don't mind.
But his energy was different. He was moving. He was They were flying. The pace was completely. They were outrunning them. They were outpassing them. They were making the right reads. Everything was just flowing as one. Now, you can't tell me, New York, you did not see that.
Yeah, dude, like, Randle's not a bad player, man. Like, we're only on him because of what's been going on as of late. And yeah, when the Randle rumors... You know what's crazy? I give Randle credit for how he handled the media.
Oh, Mark Berman? You told the Mark Berman thing?
A lot of people might not have liked that. Bro.
I backed him on it.
That is how all media should be handled. They said something. He said, what's your source? All media, not just sports media.
And even
the president should do that. When a reporter asks the president a question, the president should say, what's your source?
Yep.
You should have a source. Mm-hmm. You don't have a source.
It's
what
not
you
credible.
Is bullshit.
Not credible
so
at all.
So Randle called about it is bullshit. I'm cool with it. I'm not saying the trade rumors aren't true.
But where's your proof?
But where's your proof? Randle's the man for that. Big shout out to him for that.
Get the claps, man. Respect. Because he's been getting a lot of bullshit lately. From us as well. We've been giving him the shit. But, you know, this is New York, man. What are you going to do?
I won't say he handled that with class, but he handled it.
He did better than the thumbs down, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he handled that. You get points, Randle.
That's like, another thing, too, that my dad brought up, not for nothing. Like, it's not so much his skill. My dad feels like he's more of, like, a toxin now. Due to his because the way he was playing at the Lakers game is how Randle was playing last year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you can see the difference between the Randle from the Lakers and Randle from the Grizzlies. You know, the Randles and the Grizzlies is pretty much, so basically he's saying toxin, he's pretty much saying his attitude, his the way he composes himself, the way he's been leading lately, like with the media. He's been hiding from the media. He did the thumbs down. You know, he's not painting a good picture for himself.
I understand that, but we all have seen that. That's not news. We've all been saying he's handling it wrong. You know, it could be worse. Like I said, bro, the whole thumbs down thing was two fingers away from being world news. I still stand by that. And it could be a Ben Simmons situation. It's actually not. I don't think the situation is as big as what...
I think Ben Simmons is worse.
Yeah, way worse. I don't think Julius Randle's situation is as bad as the media and Knicks fans make it seem. It's only bad because of the drop-off. I don't think the thumbs down was that serious. Was it a smart thing to do? No, it wasn't. Obviously, you know, like, because it got the fans on you. And when the fans are on you, they're on you. Especially in New York.
And we were already on you. So now we're really on you.
You know what I mean? But I think this could be salvaged, bro. I don't think this is the end for Julius Randle.
And I agree with you. So, like, hold on. Wait.
Is it just me? Or?
I didn't have one planned until just now. Is it just me, or should we keep Julius Randle?
For now. I'd say yes.
I think we just need so. I think we're just one player away from complimenting him.
But the problem is, he might have to be the player we give up to get that player. But as I said, I think this relationship is salvageable. He hasn't been playing bad these past few games. Yeah, he had that technical foul meltdown at the end. I think that was against the Grizzlies, right? That when him and Ja Morant was gonna go at it. Yeah, that was against the Grizzlies. He had like a little meltdown.
He had a tech against the Lakers too.
He did
in the third quarter. At the end of the third.
Okay, you got to chill with the meltdowns, man.
You know what I mean? He argues too much, bro.
Yeah, bro. Like, that's not you, Randall. You haven't been doing that late. You've been doing that a lot lately, bro. But, like, he got a lot
on
him.
But this is what
bro.
He means by toxic, you know, because that
you that could rub off on young players. I feel you.
You know what I mean? He's leading by example. So, by the young guys seeing him arguing, they're going to be like, oh, you know, shit, maybe I should argue too.
But you might be right, though. We might be a player away from making him a better fit. But it would have to be a point guard. But I don't think the Knicks are going to go that direction now. Because from what I'm hearing, is if the Knicks make a deal, they're going to make a deal to open up space in the rotation. Or in Burke's case, try to trade for a vet. Because from what I heard, they're not trying to trade Burks for just a pick. They want value since he raised his stock. And that's very smart on Leon Rose's part. But as far as Randle goes, if he were to get traded, I would assume it's not going to happen at this deadline.
I don't think so either.
It would be in the offseason because the Knicks are going to want to see. Because, bro, you never know. This is just the deadline. You don't know what's going to happen between this portion of the season and the playoffs. You don't know if anybody's going to have a Ben Simmons moment and then they're going to want to get traded. Or somebody else blows up and has a good playoff and his market goes up and we might want to sign him. You know what I mean? A young cat.
That's a fact.
That's what I don't think the Knicks are all the options aren't out there at the moment. Like, there are options on the table that could help the Knicks. But I think Leon Rose might hold out to see who else comes out. Because remember, like, not just in his example, not to say I want him, but CJ McCollum's going to be out there. His name's been in the rumors for a while. He's going to be moved. I don't know if it'll be by the deadline, but if he's not moved by the deadline, I'm assuming he's going to be moved by the end of the year because they want to make a better team for Dame. Not no disrespect to CJ McCollum, but I think they're coming to the conclusion
time
that...
Time for a new look.
Yeah, they're coming to the conclusion that him and Dame aren't going to win the title together.
Like a DeRozan and Lowry kind of thing.
Exactly.
Because right the year they left DeRozan, they won the next year.
I know that was sad.
Right, yeah, man, next year. That but was... you saw they linked up, though, right? Afterwards? That was pretty cool. That's pretty cool by Lowry. Shout out to Lowry, because
Lowry's a real one.
I think he's probably one of the most loved veterans in the league.
Nah, yeah.
Most respect, like Kemba.
Yeah, but...
But I think I want everybody to really dissect. We're going to get into the Grizzlies game. We're just kind of like shadowing it because it's so fucking bad. I'm not going to lie to you.
Not bad. It's just the way it ended was bad. But we played good.
It's bad.
That's the problem. You're saying we played bad?
I think we played bad.
Nah, we didn't play bad.
We did the old catch-up thing. You know, like...
You know what? We're going to hold off on that because I was going to say what the turning point
actually,
was.
Actually, you know what?
Let's get into
it. I lied. I'm being a hypocrite because on Past, Present, Future, I said they actually did pretty good.
Yeah.
So, no, they didn't do bad because we got to remember they were third in the league in the West. So, before we even get to the Grizzlies, let me get this about the Lakers. I want everybody to really dissect that Lakers game. And I mean the first half. Really dissect the first half of that Lakers game because moving forward, I want to see what they do with that. That's something to really look at because that energy. I even called my friend, and even my friend said, like, we were watching the game together. He was like, yo, bro, what multiverse are we in right now? Like, what Knicks team are... This was a completely different Knicks team that we saw in that first half.
It was last year's Knicks team.
It was fucking beautiful, let me tell you. It was poetry in pure motion. You know what I mean? So I want to see if they can go back into film and see and just add on to it. You know what I mean? Because all they missed was that closing. Just closing it out. That's all they were missing. So I want to see if they're able to go back into film, see what they did right, add on to it. And then, you know, put the closing. Now, obviously, we are missing out with D-Rose. D-Rose would be that closer. You know what I mean? In times like this, D-Rose would definitely be that guy.
I think we're going to be a totally different team when he comes back.
Of course, as we should be, man. D-Rose, he's like the rock. He's the anchor.
I think he was a bigger loss. I mean, we all knew he was a big loss.
But he's way bigger than
he was a bigger loss than we thought.
I agree.
Because I thought we were going to hold it together and at least be at 500. Not that it's bad, because we're not that far from 500. Here's the funny part about the East, y'all. Everybody's all gloom and doom about the East. Dude, the Knicks are not even far from the number one seed. That's how close the East is. Look how, I think we're like 6-7.5 games from the one seed.
Bro, really?
Yes.
Really?
Around that area, between 6-8 games, it's like that, bro. The East is that. Bro, remember the Nets were the number one seed at one point? They're the sixth seed now.
They lost 8 straight.
Bro.
They lost 8 straight.
I don't care what nobody says, bro. Y'all might think I'm thinking crazy, but this season is not over.
It's not.
This season is not over.
So where do you say the furthest we'll go then? What are you expecting?
I still think we can get the 6th seed. It's possible. If the Nets can lose 6 games in a row,
we could win 6 games.
We can win 6 games in a row. Why not? Who saw that the Nets would lose 6 games in a row? Hell, who saw that the Lakers would be here?
Yeah, 10th, right? I think in the West.
Exactly. We all knew, well, let's be real, y'all. When the Lakers traded for Westbrook, we all knew that wasn't a need.
Wait, hold on. Let's get the womps.
Any smart basketball fan knew that was a bad trade for the Lakers because they needed 3-point shooting and they should have gotten Buddy Hield like they were supposed to get or what was rumored.
They got rid of Caldwell Pope, their best 3-point shooter.
For Westbrook. Bro.
Where is Caldwell Pope?
Caldwell Pope's in the Wizards.
The Wizards. They baking right now. Look at that.
Actually, they dropped down too. Remember they were the 4th seed or the 3rd seed? They ain't there no more. They dropped. They below 500, I think. Matter of fact, you know what?
Pull up these standings real quick.
Me the standings real quick. My bad, bro.
Nah, pull up these standings. It's good that we're here. So while you're looking at the standings real quick, let's take it over to Sacramento real fast. I mean, not Sacramento. Let's get to the Grizzlies.
Hold on. Final score for that game, just so we can get that out of the way. We don't forget. Apologize for that, y'all, again. come on.
120 to 108. You're talking about the Grizzlies, right?
Yeah.
Yep, 120 to 108.
120 to 108, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, this game is weird because it looked like we got our ass kicked, but we actually played really, really well on how we got our ass kicked.
Turning point in a game, bro.
So I
have to say. All right, for you, what was the turning point in a game?
Before I even get to the turning point of the game, I think what happened this game transferred on to the beginning of the Lakers game. Because we did play extremely well. The ball was moving. We just couldn't close out. I think the turning point in this was our perimeter defense as a whole.
I'm sorry, bro, but to cut you off, 9.5 games out from the first seed.
Are you serious?
And there's 53. We're 53 games in, which means there's 29 games left. I'm not saying we could get the one seed, but that's not far. Which means we're not that far from the sixth seed. So this season is still salvageable, but continue, bro. I'm sorry.
So let's see. Oh, the Wizards are right above us.
Exactly. They was like the third, fourth seed.
The Wizards are right there. And then the Hawks. And then the Hornets.
Dude, the Hawks were below us. Look how much they climbed. This isn't over.
This is not over.
This is not over, Knicks fans. Have some faith in your team.
Nets dropped down to 7.
Look at that. I thought they dropped to 6. I was wrong.
Yo, bro. Yeah, man. Knicks, we need to really learn. I thought we was tough. What happened?
I think we're still tough.
I'm hearing a lot of crying and complaining going on. I'm going to need you to suck it up, including ourselves. We're not safe either. We need to suck it up as well. But it is not over. But back to the Grizzlies game.
Yes, sir.
I think the Grizzlies game... So pretty much what happened in the Grizzlies game, the score... It's one of those games where the score doesn't really tell the definition of the game. Yes, we lost by almost 20, but we got to really understand who we were playing. We were playing against a very more developed team in terms of chemistry because they are young, but they are very... They understand each other. They know their roles. Great coaching. Great... What's the word? Great organization. You know, third in the West right now.
And they got Ja Morant.
That's all you needed to say, bro. Honestly, I could have just said that and just kept it moving. So you're right. Ja Morant, you know.
Man, dude.
So
this game hurt to lose. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that out.
No, it hurts to lose. I mean, how much did he have? You know, let's give it up to RJ for a little bit, man. Because
this wasn't even RJ's game, bro.
No, I'm talking about the defensive end.
Oh, no, on the defensive end. Yeah, he did great on. No, no. You know who did good on Ja that stuck out? Quentin Grimes.
Shout out.
He stuck out, bro.
Shout out to him, too.
Bro, as a matter of fact, Ja Morant messed up my parlay, too. But that's thanks to Quentin Grimes. Sorry, I had the mic too close to my face. I was a little loud. I had Ja Morant drop it more than 25. We held him to 23 points on 9 of 27 shooting. That's because of Quentin Grimes and RJ Barrett. I'm kind of tight at y'all, but I like the effort. I messed up my money.
It's all, yeah. And honestly, we did better from the free throw line. We shot 77%. The only thing bad about this game was our 3-point shooting and our field goals. But the reason why we really got our ass whooped is because our perimeter defense was completely shit. We let them shoot 41% from three.
Not good.
We shot 33%.
Also not good.
And we shot 40% from the field.
Not good.
They shot 40% from the field.
I'm tightly wasted a gem of a game from Mitchell Robinson, dude. He had that was a gem of a defensive game. 14 points, 11 boards, an assist, and 8 blocks.
And he was my matchup to watch with Adams.
You saw with Ja Morant tried to dunk it on Mitch, and Mitch wasn't having that shit.
You gotta do the voice now.
Will I be without you?
Will I be without you?
Nah, but Mitch wasn't having that, bro.
Who's that? 90s? That's 90s, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to all the 90s babies out there. That was for ya.
That's Mike TV.
That's Mike TV.
But yo, Mitch wasn't having it, bro. Ja, come on, bro. Don't try to bring the smoke to Mitch, man. Wrong guy.
Yeah, granted, he fouled him.
He did, but still, wrong guy.
Not in my house.
48 had a good game, too. 8 threes. He was hot.
Most of his blocks were actually against Ja, pretty much.
Yeah. That's not good, though, because that means Ja was getting in the paint.
But it's Ja Morant, bro.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but still,
he's giving everybody in the league problems.
Yeah, you ain't lying about that.
He's giving everybody, he's actually, I think he was the underdog in that draft. I think he was very underlooked.
Somebody from the hood wrote on Facebook that he thinks that Ja Morant is bringing back driving in the mid-range game. I don't know about the mid-range game, but the driving, I can see that.
He's very explosive. He's like a Westbrook, but more...
Nah, he's more
smart.
He reminds me of a more explosive D Rose. Like if D Rose was already athletic in his prime before he was hurt, but add like 2 notches, that's Ja Morant.
I agree. Yeah, he's gonna be a problem, bro.
Yeah, for a while. Bro.
If he's able to stay healthy though, because he already had 2 bad leg injuries.
Him and Desmond Bane is nice. No, the shooting guard.
You know who my favorite player on that Grizzlies team is that I actually admire that I wish the Knicks had?
Who's that?
Jarrett Jackson Jr., I think his name is.
Jaren Jackson?
The center.
Jaren Jackson's okay.
Or is he a power forward?
I think he runs both forward positions because they have him listed here as small forward.
Yo, his ability and his ability to shoot and his size, that kind of big would... Woo! That would tremendously help the New York Knicks, bro. Let me tell you. I was actually kind of jealous watching him, because Mitch was having a hard time with him. Mitch was having a very hard time with Junior because he's a very elusive big man. He was able to put the ball on the floor, pump fake, get to the lane, swoop, do the little fillet, you know what I mean?
I can dig it.
So, I actually did not see that coming from him. I thought he was going to have more problems with Adams, being that Adams is so much stronger than he is.
And a wide as fuck, bro. That's a big dude.
Adams
is like a brick wall.
He's a wall, man. That dude's scary.
What was his stat line? 2 points, 13
boards, though, right?
All the time, dude. Like, yeah, Steven Adams can have no points, but he'll kill you on the boards.
Yeah, as he should. Actually, Steven Adams is the reason why we actually pretty much lost that game, too, in terms of the board situation. That and a lot of 50-50 balls.
We got out-rebounded. Oh, we only got out-rebounded by 3, so it's not too bad.
Here's the biggest problem with this. 50-50 balls.
What do you mean?
There was a lot of times where the Knicks would steal the ball, and they would get it, and they would get an open 3 every time. The Knicks would... A good defensive stop. The Grizzlies would dive for the ball, get it, and then while the Knicks are trying to get the ball on the floor, he'll just kick it out, wide open three.
And it was usually Zaire Williams hitting them.
Yeah.
He got 21 points.
And the turning point for the game, everyone said this quickly, but let me tell you something. Bro. No, listen, let me tell you something. I saw something that no one saw.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you. I'm going to show you. No one saw this and no one is talking about it, but we're going to hear it here on Knicks Anonymous.
Oh, shit.
And anybody could watch it and tell me if I'm wrong.
Here we go.
After quickly hit the three to bring us within six, the momentum was 100% on our side. The Knicks had someone passed the ball to the top of the key, and the Knicks had deflected it. It hit off of RJ's foot, and it bounced to the wide open man. And he hit the three to put him up by nine.
I dig, bro, but Quickly's turnover kind of caused that. Because, bro, remember.
But this was after Quickly's turnover.
I dig, bro, but the turning point to me in the game was when Quickly hit two straight threes. The game became 95-90. All the momentum was on our side. We were in the Garden, right?
Nah, we was in Memphis.
You sure?
Yeah. No, we was in the Garden.
All right, because the crowd was going crazy. Quickly brought us back.
I remember because John Morant's father was talking mad shit to Spike Lee.
Yeah. His father looked young as hell.
He does. He does. Word. I thought that was his brother or
that's
something.
That's what I said. That's his father? Damn. But,
Black don't crack.
Bro, facts. Well, for some. I've seen the crack, bro. Don't sleep.
Okay.
Drugs is a motherfucker.
Like,
that's not, no disrespect. It happens to Spanish people, too.
Okay.
But my thing is this, bro. As soon as he hit those two threes and then turned the ball over two straight times, the lead ballooned right up to 10 and we lost all momentum, bro. Like, come on, Quickly. You the man, bro. But I think you got kind of hyped at that moment. I think Quickly had that moment like, he probably had the moment like, I'm arriving.
He got bright eyes.
He was like, I'm arriving. I'm officially arriving. Not that he hasn't arrived, in my opinion. I think he's here. But.
So his new nickname is Bright Eyes now.
He probably had the like, I'm arriving. Like, I'm taking the next step.
Nah. Try again.
Yeah, it wasn't that.
And notice he didn't play the fourth quarter in the Lakers game.
I know, bro. I hope it wasn't because of that.
Maybe.
I doubt it, but I hope it wasn't. But either way, you know, Quickly actually, aside from that moment, from them two turnovers, Quickly didn't have that bad of a game. He played pretty good. He was on the defensive end playing.
Overall,
hustling.
The Knicks didn't have a bad game. I think Randle had like another 19-point game.
He just melted down in the end with that tech.
The tech, that's a fact. But then again, I'm not as butthurt as everybody else is about the game.
I'm not mad at that, though. I'm mad at the Lakers loss.
At the end of the day, They're in the league in the West. You know, obviously there's no excuses. You gotta come to play. We played, we lost. You know, these are one of these games that we gave it our all. Do you think we gave it our all?
I would say so.
I think we gave it our all. You know, in the end, it's just too much. It was just too much to deal with. They had too many high percentage 3-point shooters. You know, and they shot us out. 50-50 balls. We lost a lot of those. A lot of open shots. You know, it comes down to our perimeter and, you know, a good team exploited our weaknesses.
Yeah, you know
how that goes. I think we just got beat. How long is this episode going for? We doing good time, man. It's 49 minutes.
Oh, okay.
We doing good time. Anything else on your mind?
Because
I'm about to summarize this whole thing right now.
I guess it kind of sounds like we're wrapping up soon, so I'll throw this out there since the deadline is coming. Will we make a big move? I think we're more than likely to make a minor move.
I think we're going
to
play it safe for the past.
I don't think we're going to go for a point guard. I think I was trying to get that point out earlier and I didn't get to. I don't think we'll be going for a point guard. If we do, I won't be shocked, but if we don't, I think it's because we're actually high on who we have. We're actually starting to get highlights of Rokas Jokubaitis overseas. And he looks pretty good.
That's a pretty long name, bro.
Looks pretty good. Yeah, it is. I mean, most foreigners have long names for some reason. I don't know why.
It's going to be a big name to put on a jersey.
Jokubaitis.
It's going to be like Antetokounmpo, like how they have it's like a rainbow. around the number.
Yeah.
Because the name is so long.
But he plays good. The organization seems to be high on him. Deuce is killing in the G League.
So that means somebody has to go.
I know.
One of those names that you just mentioned, one of those guys got to go.
Jogu Bitis, or Deuce or Grimes? Nah.
Somebody.
It's going to be Kemba Walker to make space for them. That's what I think is going to happen.
So, I think they're going to say exactly what they said. They're going to move all the... Because they already said it. They came out on Bleacher Report and they said they're open to trading all veterans.
To make room for
the young guys.
Except for Burks. They think Burks has value. Not to say the other guys don't, because they will bring something in.
But Burks...
Burks will bring in another vet.
And I'm about to say, in terms of value, Burks could be packaged with somebody like Fournier or Randle.
Could bring in somebody else. But I don't think it's going to be a major deal. Like I said, I think we're going to wait out our options. If we do make a deal, we will make it for a player. It'll definitely be for a rotation player, but it won't be like a mega star or nothing like that. It'll be somebody that will help. You know, i.e., we'll throw his name out there for the sake of rumors, Terrence Ross. Somebody like that.
He's still on the Terrence Ross wave, I see.
Well, that's just an example, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's sticking over there. I haven't heard no rumors about him lately.
But sometimes it'd be the quiet ones that slip through the cracks.
That's true. It can happen.
Like the smoke screen that we try to pull for Cole Anthony.
Yeah.
We're definitely not.
Speaking of which, he's going to be in the dunk contest.
Going to get... Whoa!
So is Obi Toppin.
That's right. How can we forget? Shot, yo. Big air horns. Gunshots. Oh, a lot of damage. Link. Explosions. Okay, explosions not working. Shout out to Obi Toppin for being second year consistently in the NBA dunk contest.
Hopefully he wins it this year.
Yeah, hopefully he does win it this year. Who won it last year?
I forgot, but his dunk wasn't all that.
I think Toppin's was better.
I know. That's the one that he threw it over his back.
Oh, through his legs?
He threw it through his back. Damn. Sorry.
He tried to throw it through his back, folks.
He threw it over his back and then caught it. So it was crazy. I remember it.
I got to watch it. We got to watch it again. I don't remember.
Wonder what he's going to pull out of his sleeve this year.
Hopefully a championship.
You mean the dunk from the dunk contest?
Nah, for the team.
I'm talking about for the dunk contest.
I'm talking for the team. I think Toppin should start, but that's enough context for now. On to the next episode.
Oh, so we wrap it up?
Just like that, yep. We're going to leave you with that little teaser.
Okay, sweet.
So just to summarize this real quick. Yes, we went 1-2, but we got to really take note about the two losses that we had. The Grizzlies kind of started it because either though we got, would you say blown out? I don't think we got blown out.
Nah, 12 points isn't a blow. It's a loss. Blown out to me is like 20 and up.
Okay, so the tough loss against the Grizzlies, you could see the work. You could see they were working towards something. And the Lakers game in the beginning, you saw what they were working towards. They just couldn't hold it. Now, we see what's the move going forward. Because you got to remember, we're playing teams that are completely out of our league.
I wouldn't say the Lakers are out of our league. They had the same record as us.
Okay, maybe besides the Lakers. But then again, you have the best player in the world on your team. So
then you shouldn't have the record you have.
Yeah. that's an argument for a different story.
I know.
Fuck LeBron. We all know this.
Fuck him.
We should have beat them. I'm not gonna lie. Yes, we should have beat them. Yes, but the energy is there. That's the most important thing because we're gonna need it moving forward now. So what do we have next?
Oh, good question. Let's talk about who we got this week.
Who do we have next?
Let's see. Sorry, I wasn't ready for that.
We got the Jazz, the Nuggets, the Warriors, the Trailblazers.
Wait, say that again. The Jazz, the Nuggets,
the Warriors, and the Trailblazers.
I could see us beating the Jazz and the Trailblazers. I think we can beat the Jazz. They just lost Joe Ingles, too. That's a big loss. And not for nothing, since they lost Joe Ingles, perhaps Utah may be interested in Burks. Just throwing that out there.
You heard about the Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. We would have to give up too much for him. It'd be too much.
And money-wise, too. We'll be right back where we were.
Yeah, dude, like, not to say that Donovan Mitchell will never be an option, just not now. He would cost so much, and we would have to make so many decisions on so many young players that we have and plan on developing. But,
Oh, this is actually pretty cool.
I don't know. Would you take Donovan Mitchell?
No. I mean, yes, but not now. Just not for what he's going for right now.
Oh, okay.
It's like buying Tesla at the highest point in a stock and then watching it just plummet.
Yeah, but the problem with...
I'm speaking from facts, by the way. I'm in pain.
Problem with Mitchell is his stock might go up.
Yeah, but can we afford it?
It won't go down.
Can we afford it, though?
His stock, if anything, his stock... At this moment, no. His stock will rise. It won't fall. It'll stay where it's at, if anything.
So, I feel like we'll... Okay, so for things like that, I call it a miss out. We just missed it. You know what I mean?
He might not even leave the Jazz.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he might stay.
There's stars that we've missed. Because I think we've passed on Donovan Mitchell, actually, in a draft.
Yeah.
I think we passed on him.
I mean, we're the only ones. Like, the media likes to make it seem like we're the only ones, but yeah.
But we were the one. We were one.
Yeah.
So, I think... Like, same with Damian Lillard and Chris Paul. Those are guys I feel like they're set in stone. You know what I mean? Like, because trying to get those guys is not going to help a rebuild. We are rebuilding. And by rebuilding, you're going to need resources, assets, money, and space.
Which we are acquiring.
Yes. You are not going to get any of that with Donovan Mitchell. Yes, I'm not saying he's garbage. I'm not saying he won't help the Knicks. He would help the Knicks immensely, but at what cost? You know what I mean? You're putting Donovan Mitchell on a team that's going to be filled with nobody because we got to get rid of everybody to even get him. So we're pretty much stuck just with an all-star.
You know, like when we had Melo.
Bingo. And we almost won, though. I'm not going to lie. But that was after the... Because we had how many years before the Knicks tape? Like 2 years?
Like 2-3 years.
It was 2-3 years before the Knicks tape actually happened. Not a lot of people know that. People think once Melo got here, it was all fucking... sunshine and rainbows. It fucking was the opposite. It was the complete opposite. It was actually horrifying. But and then after a while, the rebuild, you know, we were fortunate enough. But why we want to go through that again? You know what I mean? We have RJ. We have a lot of good pieces on our team. I feel like we just need to take a deep breath. Listen to Stevie. He told us we're 7 games away from the first seed.
I mean, we're not going to get the first seed.
But just put that into perspective real quick. We're not, you know, everybody. That means everybody's in the same position we're in.
Yeah, we're not the only ones underachieving.
It's how you think of it. Either the glass is half full or half empty. Either we're in our position or they're in our position. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm saying, but that's pretty much what I'm saying.
It makes sense, but I understand.
You understand it, right? Pretty much, we're all in the same boat here. You know, we're just at the bottom of the boat. But we are in the same boat. You know what I mean? So, Knicks fans, we are here... We are here because we, you know, the media will tell you to panic. The Knicks are trash. They're garbage. They're a disgrace. Don't buy into that, man. Please.
What has buying into media got in this country anyway? Nothing but fear.
Exactly.
Why keep doing that?
No fear. If you smoke, smoke. If you drink, I can't.
Don't drink too much.
And you better be of age.
Drink in moderation.
And you better be of age. Just sit back. Relax, let the Knicks figure out whatever they got to figure out, and you know, let's just go for the ride, man. You know, because we're already in 12th seed. We're gonna gain nothing by just complaining and being frustrated. We're just gonna be in 12th place frustrated. Be in 12th place happy, okay?
But don't be happy, but like,
just be, you know.
Don't be bitter about it.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over till the fat lady sings. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the fat lady?
Lizzo.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I didn't say it.
I did, so what?
All right.
Well, she is.
Okay. Like, all right, next anonymous family. I'm LJ.
Stevie here.
You already know.
That was a joke, by the way.
Let's go. Let's go, Knicks.
She's a singer, though.